one. Welcome all to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenbaugh. This is episode 115 of the podcast. Outstanding to have you guys with us today. Thanks so much for swinging by. Speaking of swinging by, Warren Sharp is back for part two of our discussion with him. Yesterday, we took a look at the AFC East. Warren was kind enough to come back again today to help preview the NFC East. That's coming up in just a moment. But as always, in our divisional previews, we begin with a lean. Not a division I'm in love with this season, despite growing up an Eagles fan. From a betting perspective, not exactly a division I'm in love with. So if I was to come up with a lean for any of these four teams, I see myself looking at the over for the Washington Redskins. They're sitting at a win total of 7 right now. I do not think it's a major drop-off from Kirk Cousins to Alex Smith. Call Smith a game manager all you want. He does a very nice job of protecting the football. And Jay Gruden is going to understand how Andy Reid used him in Kansas City. He's going to work to get the most out of him. I also believe that the Washington defense is one of the more underrated defenses in the National Football League. So of the four teams in the NFC East, if I'm going to put a lean out there for one of them, it's going to be the over 7 wins on the Washington Redskins. Now, before Warren jumps on to help preview the division, a reminder to check out the BetQL app. You can go to the website to get all the information you need if you want to put some research in. BetQL.co. That's .co, not .com. This is an app that's going to keep you organized, and it's going to give you an edge in our never-ending quest to get one up on the bookmakers. Powerful analytics for sports betting, giving you access to real-time line movement, value bets of the day, and meaningful team trends. You can experiment with it right now during baseball season, but this is a resource you're going to want to lean upon come football season. So if you're on an Android, go to Google Play. If you're on the iPhone, go to the App Store, download BetQL, and get started today on the path towards more organized and more efficient sports wagering.
Going to be up 500 by midnight.
Today, we are going to take a look at the NFC East, and it's going to be part two of our conversation with good friend Warren Sharp. You can check him out at sharpfootballanalysis.com, sharpfootballstats.com, on Twitter at sharpfootball, and as we mentioned in yesterday's pod, Warren Sharp's 2018 football preview available on amazon.com. It is must-read material. Warren, thank you for spending some more time with us in our previews. Before we jump into the NFC East, I wanted to ask you something specific about the magazine this year. You have a tremendous breakdown based on a study you came up with in regards to what happens when coaches who choose to throw for it on first down go incomplete and then choosing to run the ball on second down at second and 10, that being an awful decision. Can you explain why?
Yeah, that's one of the sections that I did on improving efficiency in the NFL, and there's a lot of things I wrote about. It's almost like a mini book, like 15 pages on different things that coaches need to improve upon with their decision-making. I love the fact that when coaches throw the ball on first and 10, because they argue strongly that coaches need to throw the ball more often on first and 10, especially if they have a young quarterback. That sounds counterintuitive, but the reality is, it's much easier to throw the ball on first and 10 than it is on third down in anything when the defense knows you're going to be throwing the football. So, therefore, you want to skew those pass attempts to first down. We haven't seen much progress over the last 20 years in terms of run rate versus pass rate on first down. It's pretty much stayed consistent. I hope that that changes in the future. But oftentimes what ends up happening with coaches and coordinators who are calling plays is that after they throw the ball on first and 10, and it's incomplete, they think that they have to run the ball on second and 10 because they're concerned of the appearance of going pass, 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 punt. And as a result, we see too many run plays on second and 10, which is one of the worst plays. And I'll give you an example of a specific team. The Buffalo Bills were one of the worst teams in the NFL. They ran the ball 82% of the time after they threw an incompletion on first and 10. Those run plays were only successful 13% of the time and gained 3.4 yards per carry. So 13% success rate basically looks at how many yards you have to go and what down is it, and does some math to figure out how many yards do you need to get to kind of get back on schedule. And the Bills were horrendous with their decision-making of going so run-heavy there. Became far too predictable, a tendency for opposing teams midway through the season to easily understand that this is probably what this team is going to do. And it's just so detrimental for a team to try to run the ball on second and long, let alone second and 10. That's just one of like 15 or 20 different observations that I had that teams need to work on in the upcoming season.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That is one of several fascinating data points inside Warren Sharp's 2018 football preview, available on Amazon right now. Go check it out. There's a link in the bio of this pod that'll direct you right to the page. All right. Yesterday in part one, we talked about the AFC East. Today in part two, we're going to talk about the NFC East. Now, the NFL hasn't had a back-to-back Super Bowl champion since the Patriots did it in February of 2004 and 2005. Luckily, we're not trying to decipher right now whether or not Philly's going to run it back. Instead, we just want to know if Philly can eclipse their Westgate win total of 10.5 wins. How do you size up the Eagles this coming season?
I think the Eagles are in really good shape overall. That's in primarily because they've got such a great coaching staff who is very innovative and willing to listen to ideas on how to improve their team and how to stay successful. This is a team, yes, they had success in the turnover margin. They were plus 11 overall. We discussed how winning the turnover battle helps you win games. They also won a lot of their close games. They were 5-2. But they weren't necessarily the healthiest team. They were 13th, which is above average, but certainly not even top 10 last season. They've got to get continued production out of their quarterback situation. I think some things broke right for them last year. I don't think anybody would doubt that some things broke right for this team. But in reality, they've got a lot of opportunity to eclipse their overall performance this season. For one, I love their running back core. They've got a great core right now with Jay Ajayi, Darren Sproles, who's healthy, and Corey Clement, who is tremendous last season. He was actually their most successful rusher and receiver out of the backfield. They also can do so many things out of their multiple tight end sets. They got a great slot receiver in Nelson Aguilar, and I'm only talking about the offense right now, who is returning Jason Peters at left tackle, who was injured some last year. But on the defensive side of the ball, they've had a number of added players, including Michael Bennett, Haloti Ngata, that'll help improve their overall defensive performance. So I think this is a team that is going to be in great position to eclipse that. I'm not one who's going to be betting the over in their win total, but I wouldn't be looking at this team by any stretch like some of the media is, or at least there's perceptions that this could be a one-year wonder. I definitely think that this team is built right now for more sustained success, and I think they'll be learning from what they did last year in some of the regular season games and improving upon that for the 2018 season. And I'm excited to see the trajectory of this team.
13-3 2 years ago, 9-7 last season. The Dallas Cowboys do not have to worry, at least at the moment, about an Ezekiel Elliott suspension. So how does Big D benefit from a full season of Zeke Elliott? Do you see them being more of the 13-win team from 2 years ago, or is 9 wins right in their wheelhouse?
Oh, I think 9's in their wheelhouse. I definitely see a lot of problems with this team. And unlike the Philadelphia Eagles, it starts at the top with their coaching. This is a team that I think uses a lot of inefficient play calling. They should be throwing the football more to the running backs. They should be running less often on first and 10. They've got a difficult situation at receiver this year. They lost their tight end. Now, even though I was in favor of them getting rid of Dez Bryant and getting rid of Jason Witten because of their prices and the production that they were delivering on the field, the fact of the matter is they made those decisions in some cases, wasn't made by them. Jason Witten retired, but those decisions were made very late in the process, so they couldn't really get adequate players to replace them. And we know this team lives and dies defensively with Sean Lee. They've got a very, very, very young / inexperienced secondary. So while there's optimism and hope that they can perform well on the back end, I'm not so sure that I believe that that's going to be the case. And I think this is a team that, while they've got one of the best offensive lines in the NFL and have Zeke, Dak really hasn't shown a lot last season. and their receivers, I think, are going to be slightly worse this year. So I'm not envisioning this team is going to be able to make the jump back up to, you know, double-digit wins for sure.
Ben McAdoo out as the head coach of the New York Giants after a 3-13 season last year. Pat Shurmur and Saquon Barkley in at head coach and running back, respectively. The Giants have moved from 6.5 wins to 7 wins at the Westgate. They've hit 7 wins, or I should say they have failed to hit 7 wins in 3 of the last 4 years. How do you think Pat Shurmur's debut in New York goes?
I think it's got the potential to do better than some people think. I mean, they put out this line. It was definitely a very low number. And in fact, if you look, I did a combination up at sharpfootballstats.com. I look at win totals from the Westgate, South Point, and Cantor. Combine all those together, look at the aggregate numbers, and no team has been moved more northward in terms of their win total, factoring in juice, this year than the New York Giants, who have moved the farthest towards an optimistic outlook this year in the NFL. The Colts are number 2, and the Dolphins are number 3. And I don't disagree one bit with that outlook. I'm not in love with the long-term prospects of taking a running back number 2 overall, but will he have an impact on the game this year? I certainly think so. I like the fact that they're going to be healthier at wide receiver. They were one of the most injured wide receiver units, second most injured wide receiver unit in the league last year. They went 2-5 in one score games. They still play a very difficult schedule overall, but I love Pat Shurmur. I'm not a big McAdoo fan. Pat Shurmur did great things the last couple years in Minnesota with very difficult quarterback situations. Remember that Teddy Bridgewater was supposed to be their quarterback a couple years ago. He goes out in the preseason with his knee injury. They have to bring in Sam Bradford to start. Then they had, obviously, what happened last year where Sam Bradford gets injured after one game, never plays for the team, and they had to go on with a backup quarterback there. So difficult situations. I think the longevity and the fact that Eli Manning has been so healthy in his career and will start games consistently will give him upside. I'm not in love with Eli's overall performance. I'm not thinking that he's going to find the fountain of youth here, but I do think that they're going to perform better than what they did last year. And I think this team overall is in better shape to contend, especially with a rebuilt offensive line.
Despite a solid defense and a switch from Kirk Cousins to Alex Smith, Vegas still has the Washington Redskins sitting around 7.0, 7 flat for their win total. Washington averaged 8 wins per year each of the last 3 years. How do you see Alex Smith faring in his Washington debut?
Yeah, this is a difficult one for me to peg because there's a lot of upside and things that I like about the Redskins, but there are too many question marks, I think, on this team. I think Alex Smith is going to be just as good as Kirk Cousins. I think he's going to be able to deliver a higher floor on a week-to-week basis than did Kirk Cousins. But they still don't have like some of the big-time weapons that they had at the receiving position like they did when Kirk Cousins was there. They don't have DeSean Jackson, who really opens everything up. They don't have Pierre Garçon, who's just a tremendously gifted receiver. So Josh Doctson has a AC sprain and a shoulder bruise he just came down with from training camp today. Crowder is a very reliable receiver, but I don't think that he's anything extremely special or phenomenal. And Jordan Reed just gets injured too much. And the other thing is Jay Gruden is one of the most run-heavy coaches on first down in first and 10 in the first half. So I don't love that either. So some of the decision-making, I think, is fundamentally sound. So overall, I'm not in love. I'm more wishy-washy on this team than anything, I guess you could say. I think they've got opportunity and they're a decent team to compete. But the problem is they're going to have to be much more than just a decent team to find wins in a very difficult NFC East as well as the NFC Conference in general. So, and the other thing, final thing to add on the Washington Redskins is based upon my revised win totals, which I measured from when they first opened back in May to when they opened, what they were sitting at the start of training camp, the Washington Redskins are the team whose schedule has become the most difficult comparatively during that time period. When you factor in who they're playing and how good those teams are projected to do this year based on the new win totals. Right now, they're I currently have them as the second most difficult schedule in the league, right behind the Arizona Cardinals. And if you look at who they play the Giants twice, who's the number one most bet on team. They play the Colts, who's the number two most bet on team. The Saints, who are number five most bet on. The Jaguars, who are the most seven bet on. And then there's a couple others who are teams that have been bet on in the offseason, whose win totals are now higher than what they opened at. So it just looks as if the Redskins are going to be in a more difficult position. But I will say that from a strength of schedule for the offensive perspective, Alex Smith does face easier defenses than what Kirk Cousins did last season. So there's some optimism, but it's clouded in just an overall difficult situation.
Final question for you, NFC East. How many legitimate playoff contenders are in this division, and how many legitimate Super Bowl contenders are in this division?
I think you've got 1.5 legitimate playoff contenders, because while I'm not in love with the Cowboys, I think they could get close to the number. I just don't know that that's going to be enough in the NFC, just as that how stacked this division, this conference is this season. I mean, last year we saw three teams from the NFC South get in there. And I think the North is going to be in much better shape this year to produce some teams. And you got the West that's going to be better as well. So it's just going to be difficult. I think if I was being forced, I would say that one team from the East makes it, but I could argue that there could be two. But in terms of Super Bowl, I think it's the Eagles. I don't see the rest of the teams being complete enough this season to be realistically able to run through the gauntlet that is the NFC conference in the postseason.
Warren Sharp's 2018 football preview is available now at Amazon.com. There is a link in the bio of this podcast. You can check him out at sharpfootballanalysis.com, sharpfootballstats.com, and on Twitter at sharpfootball. Good friend of mine, Warren Sharp, with us here on the Sharp 600. Warren, you're beautiful, my man. Thank you so much for your time. I look forward to doing it again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to jump on anytime, Joe.
It says here we should work in teams. Who wants to be my spotter?
Big time shout out to my man Warren Sharp for hooking us up with intel on not one but two divisions for our divisional previews this year. Remember to check out his 2018 football preview available on Amazon.com. There is a link in the bio to this podcast to give you direct access to the product. All right. We've got some UFC to get to later in the week. The divisional previews will continue. College football's got to get up and running. But for right now, everyone, thank you so much for stopping by today. Greatly appreciated. Be well and best of luck.